With you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Good news. It now only costs around $30,000 in change for you or your family or even your pets to join one of the most exclusive clubs in the world. Some of the most notable members of this club are former Boston Red Sox left fielder Ted Williams, American producer and actor Dick Clare, and, as legend has it, Walt Disney. I am, of course, talking about the 500 or so people and animals who have elected to have their bodies frozen and preserved in hopes that one day science will advance enough to raise them back to life. There's only one problem, though. At this point, there is no guarantee that there will be a return on investment. And last time I checked, Ted Williams, Dick Clare, and Walt Disney are still very much dead. Sorry for the letdown for you and your dog. Cryonic freezing is, of course, an extreme, somewhat ridiculous example of solutions humans have concocted to combat the problem of decay and eventual death. More often in our lives, these solutions come in the form of experimental vitamins or procedures or diets, Botox, liposuction, fillers, anti-aging cream, or if you're on a budget, a cheap filter will do. We'll do anything to avoid decay and death, because frankly, we can't handle it. And that is the point. You and I were not made for death. That's why the fall in the garden is so terribly dreadful. It's why God grieved his creation before the flood. They continually chose the path of death instead of the one they were created for, life. It's why there was some relief for us when we were able to wash the ashes off of our heads at the beginning of this Lenten journey. It's why the events of Good Friday, the torture and crucifixion, are so horrifying. The sad truth is that we will all one day face that dark valley. Even if science were to make incredible strides and bring Ted and Dick and Walt back to life, they would inevitably die again. Because death is the consequence of the sin that infects us at our core. St. Paul tells us over and over again in his letter to the Romans that death has reigned from Adam through Moses and now even to this present day. This, my friends, is why this day is so important. Only one man died and was raised back to life for eternity. It is Jesus, the Son of Man and Son of God, the one whose sacrifice has brought reconciliation with God. And here's the beauty of Easter. Jesus isn't selfish with the gifts that he's won. St. Paul told us this morning in his letter to the church in Colossae, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Jesus desires to share this gift with each and every one of you. In fact, it's a gift he yearns to give you every week, every day, every hour, with every breath you take. And so it should come as no surprise to us that it deeply grieves Jesus when we reject his gift and look for resurrection in life in places that only offer further decay. He knows that in this room this morning there are many wounded hearts, hearts scarred by death and addiction, disappointment, heartbreak, doubt, and disease. He is intimately familiar with the ways in which we have tried to ignore or restore or numb or even resurrect those hurts or wounds on our own. You should know, my dear friends, that he pursues you even in these attempts. He chases you down even when you try to distance yourself from him. Whether you're someone who comes here every week or once every so often or only once a year out of some internal obligation or out of duty and respect for your mother, Jesus wants to do a new thing in you today. He is so incredibly filled with joy at the sight of your face in this place. Jesus wants to share with you the fruit of his resurrection, the fruit of this day. Now, I won't lie to you and say that when you leave today, you'll be healed from your woes or removed from your suffering. We do, after all, still live in a sinful, fallen world. We will all still die. But, this day does promise us that our Lord has won victory over those things, the doubt and the hurt and the heartbreak and the unfaithfulness and the disease. He holds the keys of death and life. And for you, he unlocks the gates of heaven. He is the King of the universe who promises to accompany you through the dark valley to the gentle streams of eternal green pastures beside still waters. You can be confident in this return on your investment. What he won't do is leave your hearts broken and hopeless today. Instead, he shares with you the balm of healing by giving you his resurrected body and blood in this Eucharist. This is the medicine of immortality. This will give you everything your heart desires and will begin to prepare your body for the day of your burial and the day of your resurrection. And here's the best kept secret. It isn't only offered on this altar today, but every single weekend. So, don't forget to come back for more. Let this day be the day of true transformation. The day you can look back at and say, this was the day the Lord began a new thing in me. This is the day he began to resurrect my doubt. This is the day he began to resurrect my marriage again. This is the day he began to, even in the midst of my disease, give me hope. Give me hope for life eternal. This is the day. For now, though, rest a while. Let the beautiful music soak right into your bones. Word on the street is, Travis has a pretty epic postlude planned. He even needed a page turner, so you know it's going to be good. No pressure. Let the gathering of these believers lift your spirits. We're in this together. Let the Holy Eucharist begin to heal every nook and cranny of your wounds and brokenness. Then as you go, as you leave here today, touch the waters of that font back there, reminding you that you have died and that you are hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Leave the cryonic freezing to others. Jesus has got something better in store for you. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen.